Good morning. How's everybody doing? Well, it's so good to see each and every one of you, and it's a joy to worship with you today and to connect with you today and to be with you today. In case you don't know, my name is Kyle, and I'm so glad to be here with you. I don't ever want us to miss the moment, and so I'm not trying to fast forward past this moment, but I'm trying to prep you for another moment. Next Sunday, we're going to have a special guest with us. John Lau is going to be with us next Sunday. John Lau is about to plant a second church in Indianapolis, Indiana, also known as Indy. And we're going to help him in planting this church. And so he's been spending time with our pastors. He's been spending time with our missions team. And he's a great man of God that we are going to support financially, and we're going to support through our prayers, and we're going to support through anything else that we possibly can do to help see something, again, great happen through his church and for God's glory. And so be here next Sunday as you're going to get to hear him and his heart as he shares with you what is going on and what's about to happen in Indianapolis. It's going to be a great, great time. Well, today, definitely don't want you to miss this moment. Today is our final sermon in this series called Sticks and Stones. And I don't know if anybody else is like me, but I have considered over this past 3 weeks actually just to stop talking altogether. Anybody else? Like, God's been convicting me on all kinds of levels. And so if that's you, you're not alone. I'm in the same boat because, man, our words can be used for blessing, and if we're not careful, it can be used for so many other things that are not pleasing to God and not helpful to other people. And so I pray that God will just continue to shape us and help us to use his words for his glory. Today we're going to look at Isaiah 59 quickly, and then we are literally going to give you one big idea that's going to flow through 10 other areas. 10 ways that we can use our tongues in a venomous way. Now, we're smart people. We know what venom is. Venom gets inside of people and it kills them. And if we are not careful, we can find ourselves using our mouths, our tongues, our lips, our voices, our words to destroy other people. 10 venomous ways. Before we get to those, check out Isaiah chapter 59 and beginning in verse number 1. We're going to read the first three verses. The first two verses of Isaiah 59 are kind of familiar, kind of go-to verses for a lot of Christians. And so if you're a Christian, you've been a Christian a while, you've been in the Word of God, you've probably read these verses before, you've probably quoted these verses. If you're not a Christian or you're new to Christianity, you're new to following Jesus, you're quickly going to read these two verses and kind of say, yeah, I can see why. But we're going to read the third verse. It kind of explains the first two, and it's pretty huge. Isaiah 59, beginning in verse number 1. Listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you. Is that good news or is that good news? That just tells me and that tells you, no matter where we are, where we've come from, or where we're headed, God can reach out with his mighty arm and rescue us. It goes on to say, nor is his ear too deaf to hear you call. So when I call on the name of Jesus, God says, my ears can hear you. I can filter out all the noise and all the junk, and I can hear your voice. A few moments ago, as we were praising and as we were worshiping and as we were singing, I have no doubt, I don't know what the rest of the world is doing as far as noise is concerned, but God heard this group of his people praising his name. You thought you were singing for the people around you, or you weren't singing for the people around you, right? You thought you were singing so Keaton would be pleased to see your lips moving, or I hung out with that section back there and I said, I really want you to sing loud today, and they thought maybe for a moment they were singing for me. But do you understand this morning when we were using our lips in praise, we were singing for only one, and his name is God Almighty. And he says, I can hear you. God heard our worship. Verse 2 gets kind of strong. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. Wow. Humbling, right? Notice it does not say that he cannot hear you anymore. It doesn't say that he cannot listen to you anymore. It says that he will not listen anymore. It's not that he can't. It's that he won't because of our sin. Now look at verse number 3. This is where it really gets powerful. He tells us why. Your hands are the hands of murderers. Well, surely that's not us, right? And your fingers are filthy with sin. Well, maybe, but surely not. Your lips are full of, what does it say? Your lips are full of, what does it say? Wow. I don't know about you. I don't like being called a liar, do you? I don't like it. Even when I do lie, I don't like somebody calling me a liar. And God says, for this particular group, and maybe for us today, I don't know. This truth could be true for us today and where we are. Anyway, he's saying, I'm not hearing you right now. I can't hear. I'm not hearing you right now. I'm choosing not to hear now. Not because I can't, because I won't, because you are sinning against me. And he says, one of the big ways that you're sinning against me is with your lips and with your words. And he makes it specific. He says, your lips are full of lies and your mouth spews corruption. So as you can tell, we are going to build you up today. Been nervous about this sermon. I've been kind of nervous about this whole series. I don't necessarily get so nervous about preaching and standing in front of people, but I do get nervous about how people are going to hear what I say and how I'm going to say it. And so for the next few minutes, we are going to give you 10 venomous ways that we can find ourselves sometimes using our tongues, our lips, our words, and it kills people. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that about 5 of these hit me right between the eyes. So you're not going to be alone if you have one of those moments where you say, whoa. Now, when I say whoa, a lot of times when you say whoa or I say whoa, we mean W-H-O-A, whoa. As if, hold on a minute, hold up, stop that for a second, don't go so fast, slow down, surprise, that's what we mean by whoa. But I'm telling you, I think it's going to go deeper this morning, and some of us are going to need to say, whoa, W-O-E, whoa, distress, pain, grieving at what we hear. And so if on any one of these 10, you need to literally out loud say, whoa, go ahead and go for it. Go for it. Just say, whoa. If it causes you distress in your soul this morning, if the Spirit of God working on all of us who believe in Jesus this morning, you need to say, whoa, go ahead and say, whoa. This is one of those sermons where if the shoe fits, wear it. And I might go so far as to say, some of you need to change shoes. The Word of God tells us in Ephesians that we are supposed to put on the whole armor of God, and the Word of God says that our shoes should be the gospel of peace. Gospel of peace. So some of us this morning, we need to realize the shoe fits, and we need to change shoes because we got on bad shoes. We got on everything but the gospel. We got everything but good news, and it's not coming, and the good news is not coming out of us. So let's get these 10 going. Again, if any one of them cause you to go, whoa, so be it. So be it. All right, number 1. 10 venomous ways. Number 1, lying. Lying. I'm going to define all of these words so that we make sure we understand what we mean. I think a lot of them are very simple, very clear. But lying. Not speaking the truth. Okay? Not speaking the truth. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to look at quite a few verses of Scripture. I encourage you that if you can keep up, to look them up in the Word of God. If not, feel free to look at the screen. They're all going to be up there. But number 1, lying. I also want to say this before we get rolling because I kind of jumped ahead. My words kind of got ahead of me. It's a series about words. Y'all caught that joke, right? That was my only funny of the day, folks. So go ahead and get it out. Laugh now. All right. Big idea is this, before we really get rolling into lying. We need to become accountable and correctable with our words. Okay? Fill in your blanks. We need to become accountable and correctable with our words. That's what God is saying to us in Isaiah 59, 1 through 3. That's what he's saying. You need to become accountable and correctable. Now, a lot of us in this room, we're willing to go so far as to say that we're accountable, meaning if I say something bad, or I say something wrong, or I say something offensive, or I say something that's not true, we will go so far as to be accountable and say, I was wrong. But I think we need to go further than that, and we need to become correctable. To allow God to use His Word, His church, His people, anything He wants to use to correct us from doing it again. Because our words really do matter. Sticks and stones break bones, and words go deeper, okay? They go deeper. So we need to become accountable and correctable. Number one of these 10, lying, not telling the truth. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse number 16. Strong language. There are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things He detests or that are an abomination to Him. Now, we think we know what that list is, okay? We think we know what that list is. And you'd say, well, this is going to be on that list and that's going to be on that list. Check out what's on the list. Notice how many of them have to do with the mouth, the lips, the tongue, our words. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, there's one. Hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness that pours out lies, there's two. And a person who sows discord in a family, three. Three out of the seven things that God says He hates, that He detests, that's abomination to Him, three out of the seven are the way we use our words, our tongues, our mouths. Drop down, look over, to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22. Notice what He says about lying. He mentioned it there. Proverbs 12 and 22. The Lord detests lying lips, but He delights in those who tell the truth. The Lord detests lying lips, but He delights in those who tell the truth. So I make it very plain. God says, I can't stand it when you lie. Now, why does God hate these things so much? Because He knows that these seven things He listed and the three that involve our lips and our tongue, the reason why He hates them so much is because when we are guilty of them, not only are we merely sinning against God, but we are hurting other people. And you know who God cares about? People. And so when I hurt people with my lips, God says, I hate that because you're hurting people that I created. You're hurting people that my son died for. When you lie, you're hurting people that I love. I detest it. And when we choose to lie, we choose to no longer worship at the throne of God, but to worship at the throne of lies. And God is not associated in any kind of way with lying. In fact, He is the God of truth. And if you are a lying person, you are worshiping a false God. You're finding yourself giving homage to the words that you say and the way that you can get away with them and craft them so that people will believe them to be true when they're not true. And there's no way that you can lift up Jesus in so doing. You just can't. You just can't. Lying, He says, I hate it. Do you know what most people do when they get caught at lying? They get better at lying. You know how I know that? Because I've done it. You mean you've lied before? I know that just blew your minds, right? Sure. And you know what my natural reaction is? Well, I guess I better get better at that because that didn't work out so well. So I tell another lie to cover up that lie, right? And I find myself worshiping at the throne of lies rather than at the throne of God. God says lying, it's got to go away. Second thing of these 10, number two, sowing discord. Sowing discord. What we mean by sowing discord is this: planting ideas with a person or a group to cause conflict. Planting ideas with a person or a group to cause conflict. It was spoken of there in Proverbs chapter 6. We'll read a little bit more of Proverbs chapter 6 now. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse number 12. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse number 12. What are worthless and wicked people like? Question mark. They are constant liars, signaling their deceit with a wink of the eye. Are you seeing this happening? A nudge of the foot, or wiggle of fingers. One of the people in my house this week, who might be little, said something, and they answered, and later we found out that what they told us really wasn't what had happened, and we kind of confronted them, and that person told us that they weren't really not telling the truth because they had their fingers crossed behind their back. And all of you gasped because you've done the same thing before. Right? I winked. Before we said it, we kicked the other person. Hey, I'm going to say this, and I know it's not going to be good, but watch this, right? Watch this. And God says, no. Don't you be doing this stuff. He goes on. Their perverted hearts plot evil, and they constantly stir up trouble. That's sowing discord. But they will be destroyed suddenly, broken in an instant beyond all hope of healing. Wow. It's very, very serious when we choose to sow discord, when we choose to plant ideas with a person or people or group to cause conflict. Why would we want to sow discord in our home and in our family? Why would we want to sow discord in our business and at work? Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to sow discord within our church? Our calling as God's people is to healing and peace. Again, the gospel of peace should be on our feet, and that's what should come out of our mouths. I'll even go so far as to say that when someone says something to cause conflict or hurt amongst a group, such as sowing discord, and you don't stop it, listen to me, you are watering discord. Somebody sows it, you don't stop it, you get the water hose out and a little fertilizer. Guess what it does? It grows. God's people have to have the boldness about them to say, you can't do that. It's not right. It's not what we're supposed to do. Well, that takes courage. Exactly. It also takes us making sure that our hearts are speaking the truth always. Man, sowing discord, it's so dangerous. Number three, gossip. Somebody said, whoa. A bunch more of you should have said, whoa. Gossip. Spreading intimate or private rumors or, check this out, facts. Just because it's true doesn't mean you have the right or the responsibility to share it with others. When you're sharing intimate or private rumors or facts with other individuals, it's called gossip. Well, I can say that because she's my mama. You ever had that happen? Like, you can't talk about my mama, but I can? Just because you're related to them does not give you the right to say whatever you want. Just because you have a position does not give you the right to say whatever you want. Just because you're a Christian doesn't give you the right to say whatever you want. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, if y'all would pray for so-and-so, how many times do we as Christians think that we have the right to say whatever we want about other people? It's dangerous. It's called gossip. And God says, it's on my list. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. It's venomous. Proverbs 20 and verse 19. A gossip goes around telling secrets. So don't hang around with chatterers. You got some people, right? You got some people that you don't talk to. And the reason why you don't talk to them is because you know that they are going to tell everybody else what you tell them, right? Now, if you don't have anybody that you don't talk to because you wonder as to whether or not they're going to tell everybody what they're being told, you might want to notice if anybody's talking to you or not. Tossing that one out there, seeing if anybody swings at that one. Listen, if people are closing you off, this could be the reason. They might know they cannot trust you with what they tell you. And they're like, you know what, it's just not worth it. I love you, but I can't tell you anything because you tell everybody else. Gossip. God says it's terrible. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 20. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 20. Paul writing to this church at Corinth, that had all kinds of troubles and all kinds of issues. Immorality was running rampant when he first spoke to them. Now he's speaking to them again. They had seemingly handled some of that, but there's still some issues going on within the church. And Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 20. For I am afraid that when I come, I won't like what I find. Check this out. And you won't like my response. I'm afraid that I will find quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfishness, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorderly behavior. What was the man of God saying? The man of God was saying, what you're doing is wrong, and when I get there, I'm going to call you out on it, and I know you're not going to like it, but I'm going to call you out on it anyway. Listen to me very carefully, church. Sometimes people's behavior within the church, and I'm not talking about in the walls, I'm talking about we belong to the body of Christ. Sometimes people's behavior in the church requires pastors to respond. Most people don't like it. We, all of us, including me, must become accountable and correctable with our words. It's got to happen. One more thing I'll say about gossip. If you hear these words spoken by anybody, did you hear? Alarms ought to go off in your spirit. Okay? Alarms. And you probably just need to go ahead and say, hang on just a minute. I don't know what you're about to tell me. But you probably just need to go ahead and say, what you're about to tell me, I don't need to hear from you. So if you hear the words, did you hear? Let the alarms in your spirit start to go off. Because I'm telling you that if you're willing to listen to gossip, you are most likely willing to share it again. It's a vicious cycle, just down and down and down that gossip gets you into. Number four, slander. You're going to see some close association with these words as we continue to go, but they're huge. Number four, slander. A false and malicious statement or report about someone. False and malicious statement or report about someone. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 11. Again, Paul to this church in Corinth earlier on. 1 Corinthians came before 2 Corinthians. All right? Y'all caught that, right? Like 1 Corinthians comes before 2 Corinthians. All right, chapter 5. Verse number 11, did nobody catch that or was that not funny? That was funny right there. That was an unintended joke, and all right, maybe you're offended by that. If you were, I'm very sorry. I mean that. 1 Corinthians, I'm not saying that in jest. I mean, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11, says, but now I'm writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral. Okay, we get that. Or greedy. An idolater, oh sure. A slanderer, oh that's in there. A drunkard or swindler. Do not even eat with such people. Paul here is saying that if you are guilty of slander, it's a very, very, very serious thing to be guilty of. He puts it in the list with these other things that we'd probably all agree with, like, yeah, you can't do that. He says if you are going around saying things about people with malicious intent that are not true, you have gone too far. And he tells the body of Christ, listen, don't hang out with them. Don't talk to them. Don't listen to them. Don't eat with them. Is he intending don't eat with them? Yes, he means like don't like fellowship with them within the church walls, without the walls. He's saying they are dangerous. They are dangerous. Listen to me, church. Let's stop giving bad reports about other people. Oh, be careful, little lips, what you say. Oh, be careful, little lips, what you tweet. That's where some of us are, right? We are quick to hit share. Boom, that's got to be true. Whew. Right? Are you for sure? Do you know how much falsehood there is out there?
Well, I read it on the internet.
Oh, well, it's definitely got to be true. Are you with me? Stop it, people. Stop it. We're damaging our homes. We're damaging our church. We're damaging the name of Jesus many times. We're damaging our nation many times. And we're just like, just throwing it out there all the time. I heard, I read, this, that, whatever. Well, the New York Times said, well, then it's, yeah, again, it's got to be true, right? Be careful. Number five, I got to speed up. Talebearing, very closely associated with gossip. Listen to me, talebearing. Revealing secrets or breaking confidence. Very closely associated. Look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Means if you have a faithful spirit, then you're trustworthy. Someone can tell you something and it is locked away. If they say, I'm telling you this and I don't want you to tell anybody else, they can trust that you will keep it to yourself. If you're a talebearer, you are going to immediately go find somebody with the juicy stuff that you just heard. And he says that that's what they do. Listen to me. Maybe the reason why some of you in this room are dealing with very hard things in your life, whether it be temptation, whether it be sin itself, whether it be a hard family problem, whether it be a problem at work, a situation you're dealing with another individual within the church, maybe, just maybe, you are struggling beyond belief to deal with it because you have chosen to deal with it by yourself because you have before gone to people and say, I need you to pray for me about this. I'm struggling. And they went and told somebody else without your permission, and you said, no more. The book of James says, confess your faults one to another and be healed. I experience forgiveness, and you experience forgiveness when we confess our faults to God. He forgives us. But guess how I experience healing? Guess how you experience healing? When we confess our faults to who? One another. But there's no way that I'm going to confess my faults to you, and there's no way you're going to confess your faults to me. Not for forgiveness. God brings that. But for healing, if we don't think that we can trust the people that we're talking to. Some of you are dealing with temptation right now, and it is coming over you, and you are about to jump off the cliff into sin itself and destroy everything about you, and you know you need to talk to somebody, but you're not willing to talk to somebody because somebody has before broken your trust, told your tale, and you are done. And you're begging God to help you, and He wants to help you, and He's put people around you to help you, but they've broken your trust before. God's people, let's not be people that will break other people's trust. Let's let them know you can come to me and bear everything that you've got, and I'm going to take that burden to God and to God alone and to no one else if that's what you want, so that you can experience healing. How many marriages in this room could be saved if a man could go to another man and say, I am thinking ungodly, lustful thoughts right now, and she keeps coming around, and I got to tell somebody, because if I don't, I'm going to go headlong into it. But you're not willing to tell anybody because you're afraid if you tell them, they're going to tell somebody else besides God. How many people in this room are on the brink of just throwing their lives away to addiction right now? You've been dealing with it and dealing with it all by yourself, and you're not willing to tell anybody else because before you told somebody else, and they told everybody else. And if you told somebody today who was godly and they kept it and they prayed, you could be freed and healed from that. Listen, this stuff of our mouths, it is so huge. It is so mighty. I'm foaming at the mouth this morning. Oh, my goodness. This ought to be a safe place for people, whoever they are, to share, experience the forgiveness of God and the healing that He can bring through His people. Number six, cursing. Let me define this word. Cursing.
Well, what do you mean by cursing?
I mean cursing. All right? In the South, we've got cursing and we got cussing. All right? I'm talking about cursing. Let me be specific. Using words like damn, and I can say that word because it's in the Bible. Using words like them to condemn or to invoke evil upon another person or another thing. Stop it. Your marriage has got enough troubles without you cursing it. Your job place has enough problems without you cursing it. Your car has got enough troubles without you cursing it. Do I need to bring up the children? Don't curse them. Don't curse them. Well, it's just words. It's not words. It's cursing. And you're invoking evil upon others and upon other things. Just stop it. Man, why would you do that? Why would you curse your checkbook? Why? Why? Romans 3, 13 through 14. Wow, talking about people who don't know God, their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. This should not describe God's people. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a what? Blessing. That was for you. It's what God's called us to do, it says. And he will grant you his blessing. Psalm 109, 18, look at it. It's going to be on the screen. If you can turn that fast, go for it. Cursing is as natural to him, to who? The person that curses. Cursing is as natural to him as his clothing, or the water he drinks, or the rich food he eats. What it's saying here is people that curse all the time, you're like, it just seems like it's like just what they do. It seems natural to them. It is natural to them. You know what it's going to take if you are a person who curses? It's going to take something supernatural to change you. Something supernatural. I don't know who down here is amening, but bring it on. I like this guy right here. Amen. So if you're a person that curses things all the time, you're not just going to be able to get your teeth and stop. It's going to take the Spirit of God, the supernatural work of God in your life to change it. Number seven, blasphemy. Blasphemy. To use God's name in an unsacred or self-serving way. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, one of the big ten. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. The OMG business has got to go. It's got to go. If that's your reaction to everything, you are misusing the name of God. You're using it flippantly, and you got to stop it. If everything you do in life you blame on God, well, God told me, be careful about that. In fact, you can look at the story, I believe it's of Jeremiah, who people were doing that, and they were just saying, well, God told me. Be careful when you say, God told me. You better make sure God told you, okay? Listen, be careful about flippantly using the name of God. When you say the name of God, mean it and say it with power. When you come into this place to worship, shout his name. Shout his name. When you go out and talk about God and his glory, shout his name. But don't misuse it. Don't misuse it. Number eight, filthy language. Cussing. The rest of the dirty words. All right? That's what we're talking about here. The rest of the dirty words. Colossians 3 and verse 8. We've been changed. It's the context of the scripture. We're not reading the rest of it, but we've been changed by Jesus. And it says, but now is the time. When? Today. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not when you feel like it. Not when it's good for you. Now is the time, people of God, to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, there's that one again, and dirty language. Listen, when filthy language comes out of your mouth, it came from your heart. And you can be pretty good at it till you have pretty good at it and keeping it kind of hidden from those you don't want to have know about it until you have kids. Whoa. They hear, don't they? They hear everything. And they repeat stuff, too. When you really start thinking about this the way God looks at it, man, you'll start just you'll change the way you talk through His Spirit and through His power. Men, I'm sure there's some ladies in here that struggle with filthy language. I'm sure of that. But men, we tend to struggle with this more than women do. For some reason, we bought into the lie that saying dirty, foul words is just being a man. No, it's not. Be a man. Stand up. Use good words. Use good language. Let the Spirit of God change you. Cut that junk out. And speak good things. Where is it written that you have to use foul language to be a man? It's not written in here. In fact, the very opposite is written. Number 9. Contentious speech. Hurtful, hateful, malicious, disagreeable, or argumentative speech. Some people... And again, I told you a lot of these apply to me, so I'll just go ahead and say, whoa. Some people love to argue. Some people love to nag. Some people love to start stuff. They get a kick out of it. They don't have to win. They just like to watch, boom. I've got a little one at my house who might be a different gender than the other three, who is really, really good at walking in the room and going, walking out, and Armageddon takes place in there, and that little one's over here just. I don't know where she got that stuff from. Proverbs 21 and verse 9. Men, listen to me, men. We're about to read a verse. Do this right now. Like, do this, okay? Men, do this. Do this, like, okay? It's not for you. It's better to live alone in the corner of an attic. Excuse me, that's a terrible mispronunciation word. Attic. Than with a quarrelsome wife in a lovely home. Proverbs 26:21. Men, this one's for you. So ladies, just you do the same now. A quarrelsome person starts fights as easily as hot embers light charcoal or fire lights wood. Contentious speech. Number 10. Unbelief. Negative and pessimistic speech that flows from a lack of faith. Huh? I thought unbelief's when you like didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Well, sure. Absolutely. And I'm telling you that if you go around all the time with a negative, pessimistic vocabulary of words, I don't know what you believe in your heart or not, but let me tell you what you're telling everybody else. You're telling people that you don't believe that Jesus raised up from the dead and He can conquer and fix everything. Okay? That's what you're telling people. So unbelief. We express our belief with our words. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and verse 13. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But on the flip side of that, the other way, encourage. How do we encourage one another? With our lips, with our words. Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. If you are negative and you have a heart of unbelief, you will use words of unbelief. If you are full of joy in the Lord and belief that Jesus raised up from the dead on the third day, conquered the most powerful thing outside of Him, sin, death, hell, and the grave, and you don't believe that, you are going to speak like you don't believe it. Unbelief. Well, I'm just a realist. Listen, you can speak the truth and not be a pessimist. Well, man, if I don't speak up in my family and say something, they just cruise on, act like everything's okay. And when it's not okay, I just say it ain't okay. And when it ain't good, I say it ain't good. Okay, great. You can do that. You can do that and not be a pessimist. You can do that and not be negative. You can do that. Faith is not denying the facts. Faith is stating the truth. Faith is not that you don't see the mountain. Faith is seeing the mountain and the mountain mover. There's a story in the Old Testament. 12 spies, God's people, finally crouching up against the land that God had promised them. And God said, you're going to have to take it. I'm not going to give it to you. You're going to have to take it. Okay? And so 12 spies went in. They came back. 10 of them, the majority, and the majority's always got to be right. 10 of them said, oh, the giants are too big. We can't do it. You know what the Word of God ascribes that to? Unbelief. Read the scripture. 2 spies came back and said, man, the giants are so big. But our God is bigger. You see what just happened there? They were positive. They believed. They were full of faith. And ultimately, in the end, they were full of obedience. I got 2 next steps for you. They're going to come on the screen today. I'm going to make it very, very simple. Number one, first one there. Maybe your next step today is just to become accountable and correctable, because I struggle with number. And if you need to put a few more blanks out there and put number 3 and number 8 and number, if you need more of them, go for it. But God, by your help, I'm going to ask you to do something supernatural in me, and I'm going to submit to you, your word, your people, and I'm going to become accountable and correctable in this area, in this area, in this area with my words, because it was a woe for me. It was a woe. Maybe your next step is this. My next step today is to use my mouth to confess faith in Jesus. Now, for some of you, here's what that means. For some of you, that means that today is the day that you need to say with your mouth, from your heart, Jesus, you are who you say you are. Jesus, you are God. Jesus, you did become a man. Jesus, you did live perfectly. Jesus, you did die horrifically. But oh, Jesus, you did raise up from the grave triumphantly. And I believe in you today. I need forgiveness of my sins, which are many. I need you to wash them. I need you to take my sin from me and make this unbelievable trade. I need you to take my sin, and I want you to give me your righteousness. That's not being greedy. That's getting what God has for you. You see, that's what God has for you, his righteousness. He wants to save you, forgive you, make you clean, make you his child so that he can change you. And that's where you need to be today. For some of you today, you've already done that. That's real for you. But you have become pessimistic. You've become a person of unbelief with your lips. You've become a negative person. You've used your lips in ways that you don't need to use them. And you have been shouting out to the world that you don't believe. And today, you just need to say, God, I'm going to start using my words to express my belief in you. Sometimes that's going to look like me talking to somebody saying, I believe in Jesus. Sometimes that's going to look like me choosing not to lie. Sometimes that's going to look like me choosing not to gossip. But I believe in Jesus, and I want people to know it. I talk to my kids all the time about obeying mom and dad, obeying mom and dad, obeying mom and dad. 2 of my children have reached that place in their life where Jesus is real for them, their sin was real for them, and they've confessed him as their Savior. So my conversation with them looks a little bit different than the other two who haven't yet reached that point in their lives of faith. And so I constantly remind those 2 children of mine that one of the biggest ways that they can say, show, and reveal that they believe in Jesus is by doing what? Obeying their mama and daddy. Believers, we say we believe in Jesus. We've got to obey him. How we talk, how we walk, may our mouths confess Jesus. In just a moment, we're going to stand. I'm going to be up here. Some of our other pastors are going to be up here. Maybe you need to walk up here today, and you just need to say one word. You just need to say, whoa. And that's all you need to say. Maybe you need to say more. Here's one thing I can tell you about these other men that are going to be up here. They're trustworthy men. And if you need to confess this morning for a healing, they will pray over you. And they will keep it between you and God if that's what you need this morning. That's where it will be, so that you can experience the healing that you need in your life this morning. And so if that is you this morning, just let's respond to him. If you need to come and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, come and receive him. Let's pray.